Blog Talk Radio.
To the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. So what happened? You lost your country, and you're never getting it back? You want it back? It's going to cost you. Let us summon up the Spirit of America. Let us call upon our ancestors, our forefathers, our fathers and grandfathers and uncles and aunts. Let us call upon the builders of this nation. Let them rise up and defend the United States with us. Once and for all, let us call upon the doctor, the priest, the nun, the merchant, the fisherman, the farmer, the little people, the backbone of America, small business, the mom, the pop, the SUV driver. Summon up the Spirit of America. Summon up our sacred dead, those who have come before us to give us the Tree of Liberty. May we all stand together. May we never be divided. Strike down anybody who gets in the way. Hiya, boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America party. I was chowing down, and I happened to be watching Fox and Fox Business, and there were international investors there, and they were talking about the world situation. And a couple of things really drove daggers into my heart, and I'll tell you what two of them were. One gentleman is saying, a lot of them have British accents. One gentleman is saying that the number one manufacturer in the world is China. You know, that used to be us. That used to be us. Who helped China be number one? The EPA? You think about it. You think about it, and one day you're going to be delivering newspapers for a living. And guess what? The newspaper industry doesn't pay that well. And they're going to be paying less. And then the other thing was they happened to mention, the guy was bragging about China. This was an American guy. He was bragging. He has a home in Shanghai. Loves Shanghai. And it's wonderful, isn't it? We got guys dying in Afghanistan, and this guy's in love with Shanghai. Yeah, well, when you're international, you know, you're almost a pancake. There's no more teamwork. The World War II generation that came home and built, continued to run the greatest industrial power in the world. Soon fell prey to government officials who dismantled us. Think about it. We fought the war on four continents. We supplied product on four continents, and probably the fifth one, too. We had the largest merchant marine fleet in the world. And today, if you can get a ship with an American flag on it, it's in a bathtub. Or it belongs to the U.S. Navy, who doesn't have enough fuel tenders to supply their own ships. And that's why they had to send the USS Cole into Yemen to gas up, unescorted. Which, our vulnerability is tremendous. You see this WikiLeaks situation, where a private had access to all top secret material. And now they got an expose coming out about sex crimes in the military. Isn't that wonderful? Just what another boost in morale. And it all happened on Obama's watch. Yep. Obama's ticky-tacky. Can't blame Bush. Even if it happened on Bush's watch, you can't blame Bush. Because, you see, if the horse went out the barn, Obama was supposed to close the door anyway, and he didn't do it. And he's talking about moving the Defense Department to the View. He wants Joy Behar to be the Secretary of Defense, and Barbara Wawa is going to be the Secretary of the Army. Wonderful, wonderful, going to hell in a handbasket, and we don't even know it. And the other thing that rocked my world, listening to these world investors who have no loyalty to any country, okay? There are no Stephen Decaturs sitting around that chat room. One guy mentioned that out of the top 10 banks in the world, the United States used to be 7 out of 10, and now we're only 3 out of 10. And that's with Goldman Sachs and Chase. And he says they don't count for some reason, like they do arbitrage or whatever. They're not real banks. I think Chase is a real bank. Goldman Sachs I'm a little bit worried about. Just like I'm worried about GE. But there is no loyalty between corporations and Americans. Just because a corporation is American doesn't mean they're loyal to America. And never forget, the axiom for loyalty is loyalty is 10%. When the discount goes to 11, all bets are off. That's a pretty good rule. So, what else was I watching? Let me dwell on it, and when I come back, I'll tell you. Oh, I know what it was. The CIA guy, who was a CIA expert on regular Fox, and they were talking about this leak to a WikiLeakia, and that the owner of WikiLeakia is telling everybody that he contacted the Obama administration asking them to review what he was going to release because he didn't want to hurt anybody, and they ignored him. And the Obama administration is saying that they were never contacted. Who are you going to believe? The guy that's letting all the cats out of the bag? Or a guy that's trying to kill the cat? Interesting, isn't it? Now, the other big issue is Charlie Rangel is being betrayed by his party. They're throwing Charlie under the bus. Charlie, who stole along with the best of them, is now going to be summarily executed. And they were interviewing President, I don't want to get involved, Obama, and he said this, paraphrasing. I learned that word watching TV. He said this: Charlie has been a good administrator. He is loved by his constituents. But if he's guilty of any wrongdoing, he must pay the consequences. Is that the bus? Phew! There goes Charlie. Right under the wheels. And that's how long it took to stick Charlie in the back. And that's why Charlie has that look on his face. He can't believe he's being a fuked, as the Bedouins say, by his own people. After all I did for them, I didn't steal as much as the other ones did. I did everything they told me. I voted to burn the flag. I voted to kill kids. I did everything they told me, and this is how they show their appreciation. And following Charlie, coming up, the pinch hitter, coming up to the batter's box, is Maxine Waters, who is also being indicted. Now, I got to ask a question, and I got to tell you that something's not right here. There was another guy, a Democrat, also a Democrat, also named Jackson, I think his name was. He was from Louisiana. He got caught with 100 to 150 grand in his refrigerator. I say between 100 and 150 grand because there was also lettuce in the refrigerator with serial numbers on it. Oh, man. What a joke. So he got caught, and all the Democrats were laughing. Now, that's Congressman Jackson. That's Congressman Charlie Rangel. Now, that's Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Now, what does that tell you about these three Democrats? They're all black. They're all black. So does that mean that all blacks steal? Or only the dumb Democrats are getting caught? Is this a racial type of pilferage? It's a joke, man. These people, they weren't taught right. They weren't taught like the white criminals. They didn't get all the clues, all the do's and don'ts, what all the pitfalls, what to avoid. Nobody coached them. They had to steal on their own. They had to steal on their own because they're less fortunate than the white criminals who are living today in office, stealing like there's no tomorrow. It's not fair. It's discrimination. It's discrimination and criminality. And I want to put an end to it. And I'll tell you something else I want to put an end to. I want to put an end to Latinos being played. The Latino people are great people. And I'll tell you, I'll even go back beyond the Latinos. I'll go back to the Spaniards. The Spaniards have been maligned, just like as all Southerners have been maligned. All cops have been maligned. All military has been maligned by the communists. Because the communists cannot rule a slave nation until it is re-enslaved, divided, and conquered. And that's the Communist Manifesto in a nutshell. The Spaniards contributed a lot to the New World. They brought many good things. They brought religion. They brought language. Whether we like it or not, the Spanish language is predominant, is a dominant language throughout the world. And that's because of a handful of Spaniards who were brave enough to come here and explore the New World. Can you imagine coming from Spain? I forget the name of the Spaniard who did it. I don't know if it was Coronado. And getting all the way to the Mississippi River. I can't get all the way to the Mississippi River. And these guys came here in little wooden ships. And you got to give them credit. And they brought religion, their religion. And they brought good things. And everybody today has a Spanish name that's a Latino. So, call me Vasco da Gama. Did you know that Vasco da Gama got the route to India from an Omani sailor? How do you like that? The Arabs had kept the route to India secret. They didn't want the Europeans to know about the spice trade. Because they wanted to do business with the Europeans. But an Omani sailor gave Vasco da Gama the route to India. Anyway, the Latinos are being played, and I don't like it. And they're being played by people who could care less about them. They're lumping them in as one group, or like you're being oppressed by the white man. You're being oppressed by the Republicans who hate you. Not true. Not true. This Republican turned conservative enjoys the benefits of knowing the Z people. I call them the Z people because a lot of their names have a Z in them. Valdez, Vasquez, Ramirez, Gonzalez. The most popular Spanish name, 14 of them. I don't know if it's Ramirez, but it's a Spanish name. One Spanish name, 14 of them all died in Iraq fighting for us. The Marine Corps is filled with Latinos who die for us. You think I'm gonna spit on them and tell them they are less of a citizen and they're not a citizen and they have to leave? No. I want to do something good for them. I want to welcome them here. You mean to tell me you can't hand them a piece of paper, say write your name and address and phone number, and let us put you in a system where we will try and make you a citizen, if that's what you want. If you don't want to be a citizen and you're a Mexican first and you want to stay a Mexican, fine, tell us that and we'll treat you accordingly to your wishes. But they play this political game and they're dragging these poor Latinos through the deserts and making them fearful of working in cities. And the Democrats are worse than the Republicans. The Republicans tomorrow would grant amnesty if they thought it would get them to vote. But there's nothing that says that we can't help all these people become citizens. And if the list and the line is 10 years long, so be it. It's a start. And if you really want to have a good start, you know what you do? Make it a law, they have to have a decent wage. Some guy breaking his back in a lettuce field in California, making peanuts, working alongside his wife and his children, that's not good business. better to raise the price of the lettuce. I would rather see $75 lettuce a head than to see one starving a Mexican under the gun. And it wouldn't come to that. But a fair wage for everybody. And that will take out the larceny in bringing these people here. So, let me give you a tribute to the Z people.
Tiene una pena, dicen que tiene una pena que la hace llorar. Altanera, preciosa y orgullosa, no permiten la quieran consolar. Pasa luciendo su real majestad, pasa caminando sin verlos jamás. La Divina tiene pena y dolor. La Divina no conoce el amor. Altanera, preciosa y orgullosa, no permite ni la quieran consolar. Dicen que alguien ya vino llorando por él. ¡Mi mariachi!
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and the Spirit of America Party radio show.com. That's a lot to say, isn't it? I was watching the clips of Anthony Weiner having a sissy fit, and I got to tell you what I really think. If you look at Anthony Weiner and you look at Peter King, Peter King is dressed for work. Anthony Weiner is dressed for a stunt. That's what the communists call it when you steal the show. It's called a stunt. And that's what Anthony Weiner did yesterday. He knew going into that chamber what he was going to do, and he planned it perfectly, and he had the best suit in that chamber. He was dressed to the nines. And he did all the acrobatics and all of the hand maneuvers. He was well rehearsed. He must have practiced that speech in the mirror at least 15 times. But here's something about Anthony Weiner that you should know. Yesterday he was pretending that he supported the troops and that the bill that they were trying to shove down everybody's throat was only for the good of the troops. I never believed that. If a Democrat says, "I'm on your side," run, man, run. We have to look out for each other, look out for yourself, get out of there. Yeah. If he starts singing Gumbaya, go buy a helmet. Because you're going to be left holding the bag. And you're not even going to have room for your rifle. You're going to be holding so many bags, you won't have room for your rifle. But I got to tell you, Anthony Weiner is the ultimate con man. And New York sucks him right up. You know, New York, I call New York the doormat state. Any politician can come here and become senator. And I'm going to be in touch with the people of New York, but right now I have to go campaign for the presidency. Thank you very much. Let me just wipe my feet twice and I'll be off. And we got mayors who buy city councils here. We got mayors. You know that they're going to, you know what the name of that mosque is going to be when they build it? It's going to be the Mayor of Bloomingdale Mosque. Yeah, bicycle boy. Takes his bicycle, shows everybody's riding a bicycle. I heard him say the other day, "I only make a dollar. I only make a dollar a year, and I have to pay the FICA on it. So I really only get 67 cents. Well, go live on it. Don't take any other money. Just live on that salary that you're ripping off from the American taxpayers." Oh, man, how sad. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mayor Bloomingdale sold out his own city. If we were a castle, he would have left the door open. Yeah, what are all those torches coming out of the woods? Oh, that's nothing. They're just tourists. The guy looks like Genghis Khan. Oh, pay no attention to that. Yeah, we're all one big happy family here. We're one mosaic. Yeah. So Anthony Weiner is a stuntman, and yesterday he rehearsed for the Shakespeare play that was written by Chuck Schumer, because Chuck Schumer is his tutor. He's Anthony Weiner is Chuck Schumer's grasshopper, and two bigger traitors in this country you cannot get. There is nobody bigger. Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, if they were going to do that play, they would cast Chuck Schumer as Ethel, and they would cast Anthony Weiner as Julius. Yeah. And whatever the price was for the A-bomb, they would have cut it in half. They would have given a discount. Yeah. So here's the sad part. 40 days before 9/11, Chuck Schumer voted to burn the flag. And then he stood around with his fellow communists and said, "What did Bush know and when did he know it?" But surely Chuck, I said at that time, Chuck never would have voted to burn the flag if he knew 9/11 was coming. But I was wrong, because they tried to pass the Flag Desecration Act a couple of years later, and even after 9/11, Chuck still voted to let it burn. Mr. Patriot, never served his country, only serves it up. And there's his little mentor, little grasshopper, and that's Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner is more clever than Chuck. Chuck stands out. When you see Chuck Schumer, and he's telling the world that Elian Gonzalez's feet never touched the ground, and therefore he's not entitled to American citizenship, while he holds the kid off the ground. Yeah, the struggling kid. Yeah, shut up, kid, or you'll be aborted. Yeah. Anthony Weiner is more clever. He got over on the New York City Fire Department. Can you believe that? You see, Anthony Weiner is one of 135 Viet Cong grease mice who 55 days before 9/11, 2 weeks after the 4th of July, and 55 days before 9/11, voted to let the American flag burn. Called it freedom of speech. That was his party's position. The party over country party. The party of death. And he convinced the New York City Fire Department employees, those firemen who lost 343 brothers on 9-1-1, he convinced them to endorse him. But he never told them that he voted to burn the flag, the 343 flags that they carry in the St. Paddy's Day parade and every other parade they attend. He never told them that. He got over on them, and nobody vetted him. I can't believe the fire department would have given him a pass knowing he voted to burn the flag. I can't believe it. So beware of Anthony Wieners, because they're lining the halls of Congress. There's at least 135 of them. So when you go to the voting booth in November, it's your last chance. Last dance, last chance for romance. If you don't get them in November, they will get you in December. So you better strike first while the iron is hot. Bartender, a champagne.
Watch me work.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party. In the Spirit of America Party book, we're interrupting the show to bring you this a chuckle for the day. I get a big kick out of watching these holier-than-thou hypocrites. You know, all those guys that never say the N-word. Those demoncrats from hell playing Solomon when it comes to torture. And they're trying to pin down a judge who doesn't want to be pinned down, who's, I think his name is Mukasey, and they're asking him, would he sanction a waterboarding? Well, you know what I say? I wish that there was a serum that we could inject into all politicians, and whenever a musical serum, and whenever they are asked a question, they're about to lie the answer, that a hormone kicks in and they have to break into a Broadway show song. For example, Senator Schumer Is it true that you took nursing home money and then turned on the employees of the nursing home, threatening them with deportation? If I were a rich man, all day long. You get my drift now? Well, let's go back to waterboarding. There was a Broadway show many years ago. I loved it. It was beautiful. It was so creative. It tickled the fancy of the imagination. And it was called Kismet. And the guy who sang it the best was a Jewish guy named Robert Merrill, who also sang the Star Spangled Banner at almost every baseball game ever played in New York City. That's when America had two big Liberty Bells. So in this musical, Kismet, some great songs came out of it. The Bubbles, Bangles, and Beads, Stranger in Paradise, which Tony Bennett did. And one of the songs was Was I Wazir? A Wazir in Arabic is a minister. So, like in Afghanistan, when the Wazir of Aviation was hacked to two pieces at the airport because the plane was late. Do you remember that? Happened about 5 years ago. And I always said that Bill Maher should have applied for that job instead of just dancing on the rooftops with the PLO on 911. Or he could have used his big mouth for a sortie, a jumbo jet hanger. But the song, A Wazir, Was I Wazir, is about torture. And the guy is bragging that he is the best torturer in the land. And the song goes something like this. Was he a wazir? He was. He has a way of knowing what there is to know, delicate and straight to the point. And then he chimes in, they all begin to remember, when I begin to dismember them all by eyes and ears and nose and joint. And when the keeper of the royal zoo was short a cockatoo or two, who seared him in a pot of glue, Was I Wazir? I was. And we're worried about waterboarding. So you know what I say about waterboarding? You know what? The situation, never let the Democrats lead you into their killing fields. Always choose the battleground. And they choose the one where, poor Ahmed the bomb thrower is being tortured. And they're waterboarding him. They're covering his face with a cloth and they're pouring water and he gets the simulation of drowning. And he gives up locations like when the next A-bomb is going off. That is not right. It is better that we lose a city and be politically correct. And this way our enemies will love us. But, see, that's the unreal situation. Now let me give you a real situation. You are sitting in an interrogation room. And on the table in front of you is a 45 automatic. And across the table from you is sitting the terrorist who just buried your most precious love, whoever that may be. And that precious love has 5 minutes left of breathing time. And sitting next to that terrorist is his ACLU lawyer. And they are laughing at you. And the ACLU lawyer brings out 27 pages of rights under the Constitution to read to you. You are now down to 4 minutes. Your loved one is 2 minutes away to rescue. That's all you need. 2 minutes and you can find them and rescue them. You're now down to 3 minutes. Now the ACLU lawyer starts to read the rights while the other guy who knows where your loved one is laughing at you. Now my question is, after you shoot at the lawyer, what do you do next? And that's how you handle a waterboarding. And now I'm going to play for you a Surfing USA. Back to the show. Hiya, boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. A conservative group sent me a warning asking me to contact Republicans, or Repuppies as I call them, who may swing vote the Kagan vote. And first off, Kagan should not be allowed to take the bench. That's number one. Number two, stall as long as you can. You gotta fight a delaying action till November. Number three, here are the people that they're worried about in the Repuppy Party: Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch. Okay, Lindsey Graham, who says he's going to vote for Kagan. Orrin Hatch, who led Ruth Bader Meinhof Ginsburg by the hand to the Supreme Court. Kyle from Arizona, who's now getting being known as Kaliwali Kyle because he's too wishy-washy. Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma. Lugar, I never trusted this guy Lugar. He looks like a man that could stab you in the back and smile at the same time. Olympia Snowjob, up in Maine, the Cauldron Sisters, and Susan Collins. And I just saw Susan Collins at a hearing, along with, I think her name is Claire McGaskill from Missouri, and they were working over a poor black guy who did nothing wrong. The only thing he did wrong was he got a job working in Arlington Cemetery, and the poor guy had to plead the Fifth Amendment, because these vultures were using him to grandstand for votes. And I'm so tired of these congressional hearings, from Henry Waxman holding these baseball steroid hearings, to Chuck Schumer for the kidnapping cover-up of Ilian Gonzalez. All these phony politicians, all grandstanding for votes. And they're going after the two lowest guys on the totem pole for the where are the bodies in Arlington Cemetery. But they never went after any of the big boys. But you see, Chuck Rangel, he got a session with the Pope. Yeah, the first female pope of the Democrat Party. Uday Pelosi. This woman, nobody ever held a hearing on why she went to Syria with a bigger jet than most Air Force generals have. Yeah, and licked the ankles of Bashar al-Assad, and she brought all her communist friends with her, like little Denis Kucinich, the man who killed Pinocchio. Yeah, unbelievable, man. So you got Susan Collins and Greg, I think his name is, they're saying Greg, it's his last name, from New Hampshire, who turned down a Secretary of Treasury job from Obama. So you know how close they are. And Scott Brown, who was also on that committee, and he told everybody he was a lawyer. You know what's the last thing you need in Washington? One more effing lawyer. If you have a law degree, you should be thrown out on your ear. We don't need you. If we can't say what we want to say in 10 words or less, we don't need a lawyer to write gobbledygook that only he can understand. So I just wanted to mention that to you. And I felt sorry for the two guys at the hearings, because it wasn't about who screwed up at Arlington Cemetery. It was about, I'm running for office and the cameras are on me, and I got to look good for my constituent slaves. So I just wanted to mention that to you. And we'll take a break and we'll come back. How are we going to beat the Democrats and the Party of Death when conservatives can't even band together, or so-called conservatives can't even band together? Savage attacks everybody on Fox. Nobody can do any good. He attacks Mark Levin, and we're all supposed to believe he's a self-made man because he's going to tell you 20 times a night. Now, having said that, I got to tell you that I never miss the first 5 minutes of Savage, because he always has an uncanny way of zeroing in on problems that nobody's paying attention to. But I got to give kudos tonight to Glenn Beck. I turned on Glenn Beck about 5:20, 5:30, as soon as I got in the house, and he's got a blackboard up there which Savage makes fun of. And he calls Glenn Beck the hemorrhoid with ears, okay? And everybody steals Savage's material, but Savage never stole anybody's material. Anyway, but Glenn Beck is teaching his viewers all about communism. And he's got a blackboard, and it's full with communist pictures. And you got to look at it, it'll make you sick. So Glenn Beck is a professor of anti-communism. And for that, I give him super kudos. Now, having said that, and never forget, Fox has the best-looking women. Could you imagine a beauty contest on The View? Do you know if they had a beauty contest on The View, Obama would have won it today? Who could win a beauty contest on The View? Surely not, Poopy Goldfarb. Man, that woman could scare horses. Unbelievable. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to criticize. Oh, yeah, what about... This is just getting even for Sarah Palin. And look at Joy Behar. Do you know she'd be the only woman thrown off a troop train? And I shouldn't even use the term woman, because that's an insult to real women. Who else is on there? There are a couple of nobodies. And the girl they all tout as the only Republican left in America. The one that has the same name as the guy on Baywatch. Oh, man, give us a break. So Obama addressed the nation from The View today. Well, that's good, because he could have done it from MTV. Yeah, dressed as a teenager, a teeny bopper. Hang in there. Let me mention one other thing. I got to tell you this, because you're all being sucked in. This is the S in USA stands for suckers. United Suckers Associated. We're all associated with suckers. There's a guy on Fox and the Fox Business Hour, and they're talking about Oakland legalizing marijuana and crack. Yeah, crack for glaucoma. And he's saying it's good that they legalize it, because there's going to be a lot of addicts and somebody has to pay for rehab, and this way we can tax the junkies. I got news for you, man. Junkies don't pay no tax. Junkies steal. They steal what you got left. They get there 2 minutes ahead of the government. And here, for all of you liberals who survived marijuana and lived to tell about it, saying that it had no effect on you, may you never have to identify your child in the morgue if you have children, because marijuana makes you sterile. It causes blindness. It's worse than Viagra. Yeah. But just think about this. Every heroin addict, every coke addict, every pill-popping addict, every junkie that has ever OD'd, all started with marijuana. 99.5% of all junkies started with marijuana. So when you pass the roach around, you may be addict-free. But you may sell out buddies 1, 2, and 3. But that doesn't matter to liberals. They abort children. Murder them in the womb. Call it settled law. And now they want weed for Oakland. Oakland really needs weed, doesn't it? California can't pay its bills, so they're going to raise the taxes on junkies. And somebody had a good idea. They said, let them legalize it in Oakland. And you know what you do? All the rest of the country, what they should do is round up all the drug addicts and send them to Oakland. You can either do 2 years in jail for smoking weed, or you can go to Oakland as a free man. But you got to live in Oakland. Yeah, that's the ticket. Wasn't there a football team called the Oakland Raiders? Oh, well, now they'll be raiding for other reasons.
Quiero
Molaco
Yo mamo Molambo. And your papa too.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. A conservative group sent me a warning asking me to contact Republicans, or Repuppies as I call them, who may swing vote the Kagan vote. And first off, a Kagan should not be allowed to take the bench. That's number one. Number two, stall as long as you can. You gotta fight a delaying action till November. Number three, here are the people that they're worried about in the Repuppy Party. Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch, okay. Lindsey Graham, who says he's gonna vote for Kagan. Orrin Hatch, who led Ruth Bader Meinhof Ginsburg by the hand to the Supreme Court. Kyle from Arizona, who's now getting being known as Kaliwali Kyle because he's too wishy-washy. Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma. Lugar, I never trusted this guy Lugar. He looks like a man that could stab you in the back and smile at the same time. Olympia Snowjob, up in Maine, the Cauldron Sisters, and Susan Collins. And I just saw Susan Collins at a hearing, along with, I think her name is Claire McGaskill from Missouri, and they were working over a poor black guy who did nothing wrong. The only thing he did wrong was he got a job working in Arlington Cemetery. And the poor guy had to plead the Fifth Amendment, because these vultures were using him to grandstand for votes. And I'm so tired of these congressional hearings from Henry Waxman holding these baseball steroid hearings to Chuck Schumer for the kidnapping cover-up of Ilian Gonzalez. All these phony politicians, all grandstanding for votes. And they're going after the two lowest guys on the totem pole for the where are the bodies in Arlington Cemetery. But they never went after any of the big boys. But you see, Chuck Rangel, he got a session with the Pope. Yeah, the first female Pope of the Democrat Party. Uday Pelosi. This woman, nobody ever held a hearing on why she went to Syria with a bigger jet than most Air Force generals have. Yeah, and licked the ankles of Bashar al-Assad, and she brought all her communist friends with her, like little Denis Kucinich, the man who killed Pinocchio. Yeah, unbelievable, man. So you got Susan Collins and Greg, I think his name is, they're saying Greg, it's his last name, from New Hampshire, who turned down a Secretary of Treasury job from Obama. So you know how close they are. And Scott Brown, who was also on that committee, and he told everybody he was a lawyer. You know what's the last thing you need in Washington? One more effing lawyer. If you have a law degree, you should be thrown out on your ear. We don't need you. If we can't say what we want to say in 10 words or less, we don't need a lawyer to write gobbledygook that only he can understand. So, welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show. Somebody sent me this, it's too good just to pass out into the garbage. So I'm going to pay a tribute to and pass along the writings of U.S. Navy Captain Wiemet, is the executive officer at Naval Air Station Pensacola, Florida. It's probably under close watch by the FBI. Here is a copy of a speech he gave last month. America needs to wake up. That's what we think. We heard on the 11th of September 2001, when more than 3,000 Americans were killed, and maybe it was, but I think it should have been, get out of bed. In fact, the alarm clock has been buzzing since 1979, and we have continued to hit the snooze button and roll over for a few more minutes of peaceful sleep since then. Let me just add, 0.5% is all that protects this country. Everybody else is getting a free ride. It was a cool fall day in November 1979 in a country going through a religious and political upheaval when a group of Iranian students attacked and seized the American Embassy in Tehran, and that should have been Operation Broken Arrow. Nobody should ever be allowed to overrun an American embassy. It's American soil. That's what I was taught when I grew up. And it's the same today. But cowards die many times before their deaths. And instead of naming a submarine after Jimmy Carter, they should have named it Garbage Scow. This seizure was an outright attack on American soil. It was an attack that held the world's most powerful country hostage and paralyzed the presidency, and we all went broke watching it. The attack on this sovereign U.S. embassy set the stage for events to follow for the next 25 years. America was still reeling from the aftermath of the Vietnam betrayal by the Democrats, who brought us there and left us to die there, and had a serious threat from the Soviet Union when then President Carter had to do something. He chose to conduct a clandestine raid in the desert. The ill-fated mission ended in ruin, but stood as a symbol of America's inability to deal with terrorism. Now, let me just give you an opposite scenario. There was a man who sold computers. His name was Ross Perot. He had an office in Tehran. His people in his office were seized and put in jail. Ross Perot went to the border of Iran and dispatched hired mercenaries to go into Iran, go into the jails, open up the cell doors, and bring his people back. Ross Perot should have been running the country just for that one reason. But the media laughed at him. They made fun of him, and they worshipped Carter, who has been selling us out since the day he was born. America's military had been decimated and downsized since the end of the Vietnam War. Biggest mistake was pardoning all the draft dodgers. They should have been made to stand trial and executed. A poorly trained, poorly equipped, and poorly organized military was called on to execute a complex mission that was doomed from the start. Shortly after the Tehran experience, Americans began to be kidnapped and killed throughout the Middle East. America could do little to protect her citizens living and working abroad, and the attacks against U.S. soil continued. In April of 1983, we've been at this jihad war a long time, a large vehicle packed with high explosives was driven into the U.S. Embassy compound in Beirut. When it explodes, it kills 63 people. The alarm went off again, and America hit the snooze button once more. 6 months later, in 1983, a giant truck, heavily laden down with over 2,500 pounds of TNT, smashed through the main gate of the United States Marine Corps headquarters in Beirut, and 241 servicemen were killed. One of the survivors was a guy named Chapura from Staten Island. He died on 911 as a fireman. So you see, Al-Qaeda and the bad Muslims, they got him. They missed him in Beirut, but they got him in Beirut, New York. The alarm went off again and America hit the snooze button. Where are we here? We're on page 2. I'm missing page 3. Hang in there. Oh, here it is, page 3. 2 months later, in December 1983, another truck loaded with explosives is driven into the U.S. Embassy in Kuwait. Now, you see, they were so successful in Lebanon, they decided to do Kuwait. The following year, in September 1984. Now, who did that in Kuwait? Was it Kuwaitis? Do you know who did it? Was it Iraqis? Under orders from Saddam Hussein? The following year, in September 1984, another van was driven into the gate of the U.S. Embassy in Beirut, and America slept. Soon the terrorism spreads to Europe. In April 1985, a bomb explodes in a restaurant frequented by U.S. soldiers in Madrid. Then in August 1985, a Volkswagen loaded with explosives is driven into the main gate of the U.S. Air Force Base at Rhein Main. 22 are killed, and the snooze alarm is buzzing louder and louder as U.S. interests are continually attacked. 59 days later, in 1985, a cruise ship, the Achille Lauro, was hijacked, and we watched as an American in a wheelchair was singled out of the passenger list and executed. The terrorists then shift their tactics to bombing civilian airliners when they bomb... let me just stop before we go to TWA Flight 840. That gentleman in the wheelchair, his executioners escaped and were in the air in a plane that was forced down to a NATO base in Italy. And they were apprehended by Delta Force personnel. So we were going to bring them to the States for justice. And the Italians turned their guns on the Americans and said, you cannot do it on Italian soil. And we backed down. How sad. How sad. The terrorists then shift their tactics to bombing civilian airliners. They put TWA out of business after hijacking Flight 840 and in April of 1986 they killed four, and they tortured and murdered Navy diver Robert Stethem. His only job in the Navy was to save lives. And they shot him and threw him out on the tarmac. And the most tragic bombing was Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988, killing 259. And the Scots betrayed us by giving the murderer of their people and our people over to Libya for money. The wake-up alarm is getting louder and louder. The terrorists decide to bring the fight to America. In January 1993, two CIA agents are shot and killed as they enter CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. You will see the day as the jihad trumpet gets louder. You will see the day when 50 malls in 50 states all get hit at the same time, and mothers will start buying Kevlar-coated baby carriages. And it still won't be enough to rile the American people. Do you know what the magic number is to go to war? You might have thought it was 3,000. 3,000 is nothing. Look at poor South Korea. They lost 47 sailors on their ship, and they didn't even say ouch. They didn't even say, please don't hurt us anymore. They absorbed it. Israel absorbs every day. The following month, February 1993, a group of terrorists are arrested after a rented van packed with explosives is driven to the underground parking garage of the World Trade Center in New York City. Six people are killed and over 1,000 are injured. Still, this is a crime and not an act of war. Now, I'll add to that a little story. There is a prison guard who now sits in darkness, because he was guarding two al-Qaeda in a federal jail in Manhattan. And they overpowered him, and they stuck a sharpened hairbrush into his eye, 3 inches into his brain. Has convulsions. He cannot work. And he sits in the dark. And his name was Pepe... Oh, I can't remember his last name. But the sad part was he went to the hearings for the trial of the two terrorists who tried to kill him and their lawyers. And the judge ordered Pepe removed because he was making too many statements. A woman judge. I remember her name, Deborah Batts, and that's what you got sitting on the bench today, my friends. You have no chance. You don't have a pope's chance in hell. You've got nothing but communists sitting all over this country waiting for their opportunity to stick it to the Constitution. They are the queens of diamonds, and they are the sleeper cells. And you've got one now in Arizona that's stiffing the people of Arizona. And she's only one. Wait till the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals gets a hold of the appeal. Then in November, oh, and by the way, Eric Holder wants to bring all al-Qaeda into New York. And here, and not only that, the video camera that was in the hall where Pepe got jumped, they can't find the tape. How's that? Unless, I know I'm going to digress, but I got to tell you this. You know, John Kerry got caught stealing $500,000 in federal tax money. But you know what? It's okay. When you vote to burn the flag and you testify against your country, you don't have to pay taxes. Then in November 1995, a car bomb explodes at a U.S. military complex in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, killing seven men and women. I got a picture of that, the Al-Khobar Towers. And if you put it side by side with the Oklahoma bombing, you can't tell which is which. A few months later, in June of 1996, another truck bomb explodes only... Oh, this is the Alcobar, I'm sorry. A few months later, in June of 1996, another truck bomb explodes only 35 yards from the U.S. military compound in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. It destroys the Kopar Towers and U.S. Air Force barracks, killing 19 and injuring over 500. The terrorists are getting braver and smarter as they see that America does not respond. They move to coordinate their attacks in a simultaneous attack on two U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. I don't know if you ever saw the pictures of the bombing of those two embassies, but all you see in the street are blacks covered with blood. They got all the local people. They got few Americans. But they don't care. The communists believe it's better to break... Sometimes you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. They move to coordinate their attacks in a simultaneous attack on the two embassies. They're planned with precision. They kill 224, and America responds with a cruise missile attack. Now, here's a real sad one. The USS Cole is docked at the port of Aden. They gave the Al-Qaeda 14 days' notice that we were coming. They were there for refueling because they didn't have enough fuel. You know why they didn't have enough fuel? Because Bill Clinton and Al Gore sold off the fueling ships so that they could make the size of the Navy smaller, so that they could sell the Naval Elk Hills oil reserves to Al Gore's father's best friend. In a quick razzle dazzle bid that was whispered instead of advertised, and they bought it for half the market price of barrels of oil on the market. How's that? I wonder if that oil even goes to the United States. The USS Cole was docked in the port of Aden. Now, if you know anything about Yemen, Yemen is a tribal country, and the tribes in the north and south fight each other all the time. And one of their tactics is to blow up oil refineries, plant mines in the sea, and blow up pipelines. This is what they do every day of the week. So what do? We're going to give them a demonstration of American power. So we go... And we give 14 days notice through the American embassy that we're coming. And we're coming unarmed. Now, while I'm talking about that, I'm also shooting over to Aqaba in Jordan. There were two Marine troop-carrying transports with helicopter facilities, okay, that were tied up on the docks at Aqaba. And not one SEAL team or Marine or recon team went into the buildings to see who was in the offices and the floors and the warehouses that were right next to their ships. And what do you think happened? They launched a mortar attack from the buildings. And what did we do? We cut and ran. How's that? We pulled out before we took too many casualties. Going back to the USS Cole, was docked at the port of Aden, Yemen, refueling on the 12th of October, when a small craft pulled alongside the ship and exploded, killing 17 U.S. Navy sailors. And you know they had to scrape their remains off the boiler room. Attacking a U.S. warship is an act of war. But we sent the FBI to investigate the crime and went back to sleep. And guess who the ambassador was? Her name is Kathy Bodine. She's a Clinton appointee. She's a woman. Now, I don't know if you know anything about women in the Middle East, but they don't get treated with respect, especially in Yemen, where they're kept behind closed doors. And yet, Bill Clinton sends a woman ambassador to Yemen to straighten out gat-chewing tribal warriors who don't even talk to their own wives. You see, schmuckitis is rampant among Democrats. And the Republicans are not much better. They're the duck and cover Republicans. And Osama bin Laden, at his son Mohammed's wedding, read a poem about the power of the United States. You always remember that Osama bin Laden says all American taxpayers are Jews. And you know how Muslims feel about Jews. Did you ever see a Muslim stand up for a Jew? I can almost ask the same question about did you ever see a Muslim stand up for America? I think I would get a 10% positive response. And of course, you know the events of September 11, 2001. Most Americans... Most Americans think that this was the first attack against U.S. soil or in America. How wrong they are. And that Fort Hood cover-up, the 911 cover-up. Did you ever see the panel of 911? Did you know that when they swore in the witnesses at the 911 hearings, they dropped the words, "So help you God"? They said, "So help you." Most Americans think this is the first attack. How wrong they are. It's been going on since 79. In the news lately, I started to tell you about bin Laden. At his son's wedding, he read a poem where he described the United States. Now listen to what he says. Now this is the guy that is the jihad general. He called the United States an illusion of power. An illusion of power. It is like a giant warship that does not see the dinghy in the waves that will sink it. And that's exactly what he did in Aden, Yemen. An illusion of power. And that's what he considers us to be. If they can beat the Soviets, they can beat the Americans just as easily. That's how they feel. That's what they believe. In the news lately, we have seen a lot of finger-pointing from every high official in government over what they knew and what they didn't know. But if you read the papers and paid a little attention, I think you can see exactly what they knew. I'll tell you another quick story. I was in Jebel Ali. Jebel Ali is a big free trade zone in United Arab Emirates. It is the most successful free trade zone probably in that region, that whole region. Everybody goes to Dubai to do business. Russians fly in there to buy all kinds of refrigerators, TVs, all kinds of goods. It is a big shopping zone. Nobody can buy it cheaper than in Dubai. And Jebel Ali is their big fort, their big port. So they gave me a tour to impress me how Sheikh Maktoum, I think it's Sheikh Maktoum, or it could be Sheikh Zayed, has spent so much time and effort to build up the UAE, to make it the center of the Middle East, for trade, for financing. And the port is very impressive. As a matter of fact, it's so impressive that many congressmen wanted to bring Dubai Ports Authority here to run our ports. But for all the wrong reasons. They were looking in their pocket and it was empty. Yeah. And they know that the Arabs pay big backsheesh. That's why John Murtha and Congressman Murphy got caught in Atlantic City in a Arab sting done by the FBI, where they were selling American influence and selling Americans down the river. But that's another story for another time. So I'm in Jebel Ali and I'm looking around and I see that U.S. Navy ships have to wait in line before they can they get no priority in coming into the port. So, and I'm also looking at the ships that are tied up along the dock, and within 20 feet of those ships are giant 40-foot containers, which could be loaded with anything. And then I also look and I see barges of urea coming in from Iran in the same area. And I also look and I see there's no way out. They got to go out to a place called, I think it's Banyas Creek. There's no quick exit in case of an attack. I said, this is not right. You know, this is Pearl Harbor all over again. So I go shopping, and I go to one of the sheikdoms. There's seven sheikdoms in the United Arab Emirates, and one of them is a sheikdom known as Fujairah, and it sits on the Gulf of Oman. And I notice when I get up there, there's at least 20 oil tankers berthed up there, probably loaded with oil, waiting for the price to go up to make a move. And it's a natural harbor, and there's just my luck, I find a Dutch company that's building storage facilities for petroleum. And the name of the Dutch company was Vopak. And they're just finishing building these beautiful facilities, heavily secured, the latest state of the art, dispensing arms that rapidly can fill a tanker, a lot of camera security. And not only that, but the tankers load 1 mile off the shore. They have like a jetty that goes out 1 mile, and the tankers can gas up, fuel up, out 1 mile off the coast. And not only that, if something, God forbid, should happen, all they got to do is turn around. They can go in any direction. They're right in the Gulf of Oman. So I said, this is great. And what do you think I get when I get home? I get a bid from the Defense Department for the storage of jet fuel. Okay? I said, oh man, this is great. So I call the manager at Vopak and I tell him, I just got a bid for the storage of jet fuel and it has to be in the UAE. So we put together a package, he gives me a price, I add a couple of pennies, and we submit the bid. And we don't get it. Now this guy, he's a Frenchman working for a Dutch company. He's heartbroken. He's enraged. He's absolutely furious, okay? He wanted to fill those tanks, which he did anyway. So he calls me up, and I call up the contracting officer, and I said, do you know that this Fujairah is almost totally safe? You can only get into it by road through one pass in a mountain. Okay, you could put 20 guys up there, could hold off an army. It would be like the Spartans at Thermopylae. Or the Hot Gates. And it's easily defendable, and it's safe. And you know what the contracting officer told me? He said, safety is not a factor. Only price is. So I told my French friend, and he said, Tom, do you know who got the award? I said, no. He said, Caltex got it. He goes, Tom, do you know what the facilities look like? I said, no. Do you know what kind of security they got? I said, no. He says, Tom, they got one guy, one Haji, which is an old man who's been to Mecca, and he's sitting on a chair. Now, this is before the cold got hit. How's that? and the coal ran out of fuel. The coal had to refuel. If they could have made another 900 miles to Fujairah, and we were there, they would have been home free. There'd be 19 sailors alive today. Isn't that amazing? How sickening. So, I'm glad that this gentleman did that article, and he told us we're still asleep, and we are still asleep. And I told you what the magic number is in the United States to go to war. First off, when we got hit on 9-1-1, that should have been an act of war. But the communists told us, oh, we don't know who the enemy is. Let me tell you something. There isn't a product or a person made in this world that doesn't have a certificate of origin. You could find out in 5 minutes who did us in. We should have had an act of war, but instead, half of the communists in this country, which is the Democrat Party, went to war against George Bush, while brothers and sisters were looking for the bodies of the rest of their family, while 200 mothers aborted pro-life children as they were crushed and burned. Fetuses were murdered. How's that? And we forgot about it. You know what? Americans have short memories. They suffer from freedom Alzheimer's. Okay, that's it. Let me give you a tune.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party Radio Show.com. If you go there, you'll see everything. You'll be as wise as I am. I did a quick a blog, and I'm going to share it with you. And it's got some pictures in it, so I'm going to describe what's in the blog and the words that are attached to the pictures. The lead-off picture is George Bush, and he's in a suit, and he's standing on the deck of an aircraft carrier, and behind him in the background, in the tower of the aircraft carrier, are the words, "Mission Accomplished." And I say underneath, "Bush left out the last word, every day." If Bush had put up that one word every day, the communists couldn't have touched him. But this cowboy did accomplish missions. And one of the missions he accomplished was he buried the Husseins on Sandal Hill. And I got pictures of Uday and Kusay before the shooting. Then hangs Saddam. And I got a picture of three guys getting Saddam ready to be hanged. Okay? And there are some nasty pictures of Saddam's hanging on there, but I wouldn't put them out. 8 Bush years in office, Americans killed in Afghanistan. The total is 461. And Bush also got a Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Remember that total figure, 461, 8 years under Bush. And I got a picture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who looks like he's making donuts, who was granted sanctuary by Eric Holder, the persecutor of Arizona, and Victory Mosque Builder, the Mayor Bloomingdale Mosque, overlooking Liberty Plaza, and the bodies of 3,000 dead Americans, including 200 babies. And then the next picture I have is a cowboy riding off into the sunset, and under that I have another picture of Bush in an overcoat and a cowboy hat, and there's flames in the background. And I shout, "Bush, come back!" That's from the movie Shane, you know, where Shane wipes out all the bad guys and he rides off into the sunset and the little kid is calling him at the end of the movie, "Shane, come back!" I say, "Bush, come back. We need a fireman to fight the fire worshippers." But on the other hand, we have somebody new. We have the change man. The war is over. I fired McChrystal for saying mean things about me. He was out of line. Now let him stand in the bread line with the South. He does not own an oil rig, does he? Now meet the activist, and the headline is, "What mission?" Here he is negotiating with Ayman al-Zawahiri and Mohammed Atta on the left, and he's sitting on the couch in front of the view, looking prim and proper. And what's her name? Joy Behar is on his right, and Barbara Wawa is on his left. So I say, here he is negotiating with Ayman al-Zawahiri and Mohammed Atta on the left. And then in big, bold numbers, I have 65 Americans died in Afghanistan in July, and the communist media hides the numbers. If they had died on Bush's watch, you'd know the name, you'd know the age and the blood type. You would know who the parents were, what towns they came from, if they died on Bush's watch. But because they died on Obama's watch, nobody's watching. Over 800 Americans have been killed in Afghanistan. Remember I said Bush, 461. Since activist man swindled power. We are being murdered by Muslims, and he declares class warfare on Arizona. No wonder he wasn't invited to Chelsea's wedding. So he declares an unwritten war against the Boy Scouts. The 100th anniversary of the Boy Scouts, and he didn't say boo about them. You know why? He's catering to his gay constituents who hate the Boy Scouts. But the Boy Scouts don't trust his gay constituents because they don't want a scoutmaster to take them on a hike and say, "There's 13 of us and there's only 12 sleeping bags." He can't even qualify for his own restraint medal, but he got the wool You gotta pull the wool over your eyes, Pulitzer Prize. More tea, anyone? You have one shot left in November to get your country back. If you blow it, you will be like the Bedouins say, Fouked. No more terms for termites. Never again, never again let any party hold the three branches of government hostage. If they were there before, show them the door. A new broom sweeps clean, and I have a picture of a broom with a Don't Tread on Me flag at the top of the handle. And the ultimate fate of all America lies in the hands of one Supreme Court judge. You think about that. All three branches of government are controlled by the Party of Death, the Communist Party of North America, the Divide and Conquer Party, the Dilatation and Curettage Party, DNC, that's what it stands for. And the only thing that's saving us from a complete junta takeover is one Supreme Court judge who votes conservative. You better pray that that judge does not meet with the Soviet accident. And if you don't know who to fire first, start with the 48 senators who voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. Then throw out the 135 Viet Congress mice who did the same 55 days before 9/11. This time, let's get fresh crooks. One rule, no pockets, maybe cellophane. No more Hollywood Academy Award statements like the envelope, please. Let them all learn how to steal from the beginning and get rid of the guys who know the routine. Hang in there, we'll give you a tune.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go forth, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life.
And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in your feet. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle.
Gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge,
blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a present operation down below, with a fire pipe a-blowing while the mustard tail was flowing, all the cats were bubble going down below. Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a present operation down below, with a fire pipe a-blowing all the mustard tail.
Lift your wings and fly to Daddy. Lift your wings and fly to Daddy. Lift your wings and fly to Daddy. Fly, fly, fly to Daddy.
Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Swim, swim, swim to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy.
Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street,
yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, and the rhythm of life is a powerful beat,
with a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet,
rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street, yes.
dive and swim to daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to daddy.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of American Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show. I just decided that the USA stands for Useless Suckers Alzheimer's. We are the stupidest nation on the face of the earth. There's nobody more stupid than the current inhabitants of the Useless of A. We are the biggest chumps in the world. If this government ever tried to levy the taxes on the colonials that they have levied on us, do you know they'd all be dead? They would all be taken into the woods and shot. Unbelievable. You have no idea what's going on in your own country. You know why? You're watching The View, because that's the only place you can see your president. He's on the battlefield with No Joy Behar and Poopy Goldfarb and Barbara Wawa. Yes, we all needed to know that she had sex when she was younger. Didn't you all want to know that? Wasn't that great? That great revelation? Yeah. You want to hear a revelation? It comes from the book of Revelation. Hillary Clinton will be the next president. Yeah, it's in the book of Revelation. A beast will appear in the sky. It will have seven heads, and its tail will sweep the stars from the heavens. Yeah, and Chelsea's getting a $3 million wedding. You know who's paying for that wedding? You are. Those are commission. That's commission money. That's like a weekend's commission in government, $3 million. I'm watching hearings today at lunchtime because I'm still working to keep you guys alive. Yeah, but I don't pay FICA anymore. After you're 90, you don't have to pay FICA. Yeah, and I'm watching these hearings, and it's like, it should be entitled, The Three Stooges Go to Work. I have never seen the American people get BS'd so much as these hearings. You got to go to C-SPAN, and you got to see the hearings that they hold. And how they pander to their constituents who they're robbing blind. Do you think that Bell, California is the only town that just found out that they're being ripped off by their government? Let me tell you, man, it's rampant. It's rampant. So before I tell you about this these committee hearings, I want to tell you about Mayor Bloomingdale. Mayor Bloomingdale, the golden mosaic of New York City, the emir, the imam of New York City, who is endorsing, embracing Islam. Yeah, pretty soon he'll be singing the Jewish drinking song, Hava Tequila. Unbelievable. He's on the John Gambling Show. John, who says, buy American, and then takes people on tours of Italy. Yeah, well, what a bunch of hypocrites, right? John Gambling, who attacked Stanley Toole, I think it was Stanley Toole, from abandoning Bridgeport, Connecticut, to go to the Bahamas to open up their corporate headquarters. And then John went home, and he went to work doing some things around the house, and he reached for his Chinese tools out of his Chinese toolbox. Yeah, tell me John ain't got any Chinese tools in his Chinese toolbox. What a joke. And it even gets funnier. The people in the South now realize that this administration hates their guts. Not only are they going to starve out the South, this is worse than Grant's A Siege of Vicksburg. They're going to starve out the South, and they're going to make sure When they get finished, there's only going to be 1 gallon of gasoline left in the country. And they'll tell you we're going green. Yeah, we'll be going green, gangrene, because everything will have to be amputated. We are sick. We are a sick nation. We have no idea. We all are walking around with our heads up our burkas. Absolutely, absolutely, positively. So let's go back to the committee hearings. So I turn on my TV. Usually I catch, I do it for laughs. I watch the committee hearings. And I recall a Richard Jenny a joke where he was stoned with a smoking buddy, and they were watching C-SPAN. And his buddy pointed to Ted Kennedy and said, look, he's got a plaque that says dumbass. And Richard Jenny says, no, that's Democrat Massachusetts. I miss Richard Jenny. Never should have wasted himself. He could have been helped. And somebody better help Mel Gibson. Robin, get the kids and go get Mel. Bring him home. He's self-destructing. He's not going to be able to live with himself. Go get the kids and bring them home. And you'll be Saint Robin. Anyway, going back to the hearings. So who's up there at the hearings? They're interrogating 5 subcontractors or contractors who have worked on projects in Iraq. And one guy has a British accent. And you ever notice when they want to sell you something, they always use somebody with a British accent? It sort of makes it more affordable or unaffordable, you know? And you ever notice that when they make movies about Nazis, all the Nazis have British accents? And when they make movies about Romans, all the Romans have British accents. And that's to show the refinement. They weren't so refined when they turned the terrorists loose. They killed, 270 Americans on a Pan Am flight, put Pan Am out of business, and the falling residue from the sky killed about 10 Scots. Huh? I seen the death list. I wanted to see the names and the ages of who died. And the thing that shocked me the most, it wasn't the Americans who died. It was the Scotchman who lived at 10 Penny Lane, and the next guy on the death list lived at 11 Penny Lane. Okay? How sad. And that guy with 3 months of cancer to live? He's going to live longer than it's going to take BP to pay their bill. Yeah. They should have sent him back radioactive. And then Gaddafi could have hugged him. Yeah. He was a hero. He was a warrior. He's a jihadi. Or a shahadi. Going back to that committee. So there are the congressmen up there, and they're looking over the guys that they're interrogating. And they're being very polite, not like when Chuck Schumer talks to a stuttering judge and accuses him of saving babies in the womb. What a crime that is, huh? Chuck Heinrich Schumer. If there was a movie about Heinrich Himmler, the guy that could play it the best would be Chuck Schumer. And speaking of Heinrich Himmler's, I get trapped between jumping the channels, and I got to pass through the guy that Jesus hates, the only guy in the world that Jesus hates, Bill PLO Dancer Moore. And who's hugging him real close, like they're engaged? Anthony Weiner, who's a flag burner of record. 55 days before 9/11, he voted to burn the flag. Yes, he called it freedom of speech. And you want to hear the sad part? You want to hear the real sad part about that lie that he told? about loving his country? He was endorsed by the New York City Fire Department that carries 343 flags representing 343 murdered firemen. And they endorsed Anthony Weiner for office. Hang your heads in shame, and I hope you can hear the cries of foul from heaven. And don't tell me about accommodating to get something. I don't want to hear it. You should have settled for 29 pieces of silver. So, now Anthony Weiner is, I guess he's in trouble because he's becoming more obvious to the sleepers and the American voter who's taking a siesta. And back to that committee. So I'm watching these Congress mice, and who's sitting up there on the dais? Christopher Shays. Now, if you looked at Christopher Shays, you'd say, my, what a fine, refined gentleman. What a conscientious, hard worker. What a gifted man. He really does his job well. You know what else Christopher Shays does well? He votes to burn the flag. Like many from Connecticut. Like, what's his name? Joe Liverwurst. Not only does Joe Liverwurst, who claims to be Orthodox Hebrew, vote to burn the flag, but he votes to kill kids. What does he do? He's following the Nine Commandments? Or was he one of the golden calf people that Moses threw out of camp when he came down from the mountain? They're all hypocrites. They all got to be fired. They've been in office too long. You don't need any of them. Get rid of them all. Send them packing. Better to put a blind postal worker who's enraged in their place. You'll get more work. You'll get more honesty. You'll get more cooperation. Put in a farmer who decided not to hang himself in his barn when the banks came and took all his property and auctioned off all his equipment. Put in that farmer. Put in that woman down in Louisiana who has to see her husband come home with his shoulders drooped tonight and can't even lift his head because Obama has destroyed his pride by capping oil wells. And I hear one guy's got to go to work in China now. He was working on an oil rig in the Gulf, and now he's being transferred to China. How do you like that? How do you kiss the wife goodbye on the way to China? Yeah, we all can't be lawyers, my friends. We need doers. We don't need leeches. We need winners. So, they're sitting up there on the dais, and they're looking down. And you got to watch C-SPAN, because you'll get to see the rats real quick. They're all putting on a show for their constituents, who they're going to Buffalo in 90 days, who they're going to BS. Look, I'm doing everything for you. And the five guys that testified were all good. They were all contractors or subcontractors, and they all were working in Iraq. And the termites that were sitting up on the dais wanted to know how much extra money was skimmed in these contracts, in these government contracts. What they really wanted to know was how much money did they miss out on because they don't want to risk their life taking a job in Baghdad. And one of the guys said, while he was talking, he says, I just got off the phone. It's funny you should ask. And our office in Baghdad was blown up today. And I could see these congressmen going, well, I guess I won't be able to go there and steal. I'll have to steal all I can right here at home. Yeah, man. And the guy's office did get blown up and said one wall got blown out and nobody got hurt, thank God. How's that? And they're worried about these guys making too much money. Yeah. Okay. Never forget, you know, in the Gulf, bakshish means commissions. Yeah, you can't do anything without greasing somebody. I used to be a fax jockey, And I used to see a lot of sugar contracts that used to bogus sugar contracts. Everybody was the seller and everybody was the buyer's mandate. And the Indian guys, there was a lot of sugar contracts coming out of India. And each Indian guy that would pick up this contract would add 5% for himself. And then he would say, look, I didn't add anything to it. Put in 5% for me. Oh, man. Unbelievable. And that's the way they do business in the Middle East. Corruption is a title. And you know who follows suit? Your senators and your congressmen. Not only that, but they're also now turning to vices to raise money. They're going after, they're going to tax you if you eat too much sugar. They're going to tax you if you eat too much salt. Pretty soon, they're going to have a stool counter in your bathroom. Yeah. You're going to have to get carbon credits. And they're all playing the game. All the suckers fall in line. Cooperation to keep themselves free of persecution, they will do it. So it's really sad. And I also see Mary Landrieu. And Mary Landrieu is fighting for home state of Louisiana. Mary, let me tell you something. If you can't fight for Louisiana, you can't fight for nobody. And Mary Landrieu, trying to get reelected when it wasn't looking too good for her in 2004, she promised to support George Bush. And that's how the Louisianans allowed her to go back to Washington. And when she got back, the first thing she did was screw Bush. And guess what? Mary Landrieu is a party over country wench. She voted to burn the flag under orders from the Soviet Supreme, the Party of Death, the Democrats, the Communist Party of North America. So I just thought I'd give you that little bit of information, and we'll break for a tune, and I'm going to try and give you something that will warm the cockles of your heart and other places. I'm dedicating this tune to Steve Malzberg, who now has gotten into the habit of having a 1 minute of silent prayer for the country. And it's the only show on the radio that I know of that does that. And that comes from a country that used to play the Star Spangled Banner every night at 11 o'clock before the country went to bed. Now the country can't go to sleep because they're still up in the air. They're still high on coke. They haven't come down yet. So, and this tune is also for the Southerners who were despised by the Obama administration. Here's a little trivia. That tune was written by an Irishman in a New York hotel. That's Dixie. And did you know that all the names on the wall in the Alamo, most of them are Yankees? Did you know that the founders of, I think it's Houston, Texas, were two Jewish guys from Brooklyn? So drill that oil, partner. And now, speaking before, I talked about cocaine and coming down after 11 o'clock. I want you to know something, and I want you to weigh this very carefully. You, weed whacker, you, the weed whacker, who says that pot is not harmful, I want you to remember that you may not be burned, but other people are, and you're bringing them down when you pass the roach around. And here's something to think about. Every junkie in this country, every addict in this country, or in any country, but especially this country, because we should be drug-free America and let the rest of the fools suck on the weed and shoot the horse. Every junkie who OD'd, who died on the toilet, who flipped out in the park. Every junkie who could not handle heroin, cocaine, methamphetamines, pick opium, pick your favorite. Every junkie started with marijuana. You think about that.
A long, long time ago, on graduation day, you handed me your book. I signed this way, roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you. We dated through high school, and when the big day came, I wrote into your book, next to my name, roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you. Then I went far away, and you found someone new. I read your letter, dear, and I wrote back to you, roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, my love, good luck, may God bless you. Is that your little girl? She looks a lot like you. Someday some boy will write in her book to roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you.
You know what? Somebody I know.